The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And, of course, we love having Daryl on.
Absolutely. It's always a delight to have him on, and he's powered by Scheib & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, D?
Hello, Daryl.
How you guys doing?
We're good.
Well, buddy. How's life?
It is good. Happy holidays.
To you and yours as well.
Wow. You must be at the Ryder Broadcasting Systems today, not in Berea.
I am not hiding in a hallway or a closet in Berea. Yes, I can confirm that.
Hi, guys. The only people listening are your bobbleheads right now and us. And everyone is listening along, too. Yes, I forgot.
Pretty much.
Daryl, what do you think is going to happen to quarterback this week? Who's going to play?
Another fabulous Dorian Thompson-Robinson experience.
You think so? Is he injured? I guess we'll find out.
He's got a calf injury, but they're saying he's going to play. If
tape an aspirin to it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll shoot him up. How else do you fix it?
Yeah, physical therapy, massage therapy.
I'm just wondering.
Think it matters. terrible. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm wondering if he's hurt too much and Jameis is hurt, that if they pick up another quarterback over the next couple of days, be a nice Christmas
call for
somebody.
I'm really rooting to see Bailey Zappe.
Is that true? Are you being truthful? Because we've not talked about this on the podcast, so this is fresh.
After watching what I saw in Cincinnati, I'm rooting to see Bailey Zappe. If I can't get Jameis Winston back, I want to see Bailey Zappe. I don't want to see Dorian Thompson-Robinson ever again.
All right, first thing.
You can't
tell
throw
us how
for
you really feel.
You can't really throw for zero net yards and a half against one of the worst pass defenses in the league and expect me to sit here and say, yeah, I can't wait to see that dude on the field again.
All right, so the first thing I have to point out, the Dorian Thompson-Robinson experience totally sounds like a band that would have opened for New Edition. Doesn't it?
No, it sounds like it's a jazz opening.
You think so? Maybe jazz? Yeah, like, I don't know. I think
David Sanborn tonight. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson on saxophone.
This is what it's come to.
This is where we're at in
anyway,
the quarterback situation. Yeah.
Part two of this.
Welcome to December in Berea.
Mm-hmm.
Part two of that, man, you are 100% right. It looked like a quarterback who everything around him in the first half was moving at like 1.5 speed, and he was moving at 1. And in the second half, it looked like everything was moving at 1.25 speed, and he was still moving at 1.
It's bad. And it's nothing personal against him. He's just not an NFL quarterback. Probably doesn't even belong on a practice squad at this point after watching that. Mm. I've seen enough. 9 interceptions, 1 touchdown. I really don't want to hear about being put in good situations. I don't think it gets any better than going against that Bengals defense. He's the only quarterback they've managed to stop this year. And it was unwatchable. It really was. And hey, maybe that was the plan. You know, maybe the Browns don't want people to watch their games the rest of the year. But
I'm pretty sure that Amazon said that last week, and so did Fox.
Wow.
Well,
I mean, they both turned the game down.
By the way, how bad is this weekend slate of games that they still had the Browns in a 4 o'clock window?
It's because you have 6 games prior to Sunday.
I understand why didn't you flex one of those ones to the fours to put the Browns at one?
Maybe it's that whole thing of the Dolphins have a pretty good-sized fan base. The Browns have a pretty good-sized fan base. So even if it's kind of crummy, we will still get a decent number.
I still think someone needs to be fired for making us watch Browns football at 4 o'clock.
Daryl, you get to sleep in at least.
Yeah, but I miss out on all the good football that's going to take place.
It's all about Daryl.
That's
Everything's
right.
about Daryl.
That's a good point.
Listen, when I want to watch good football, I don't watch the Cleveland Browns this year, okay?
Dude, if it was up to me, we would be sending these games to Estonia and playing them at 11 a.m.
We fire this season into the sun soon enough.
Yep. Anyway, can we talk about the Cavs?
Sure.
All right.
I'd love to talk about the Cavs.
Let's go.
They're actually good. They're actually fun to watch.
All right, what has been the biggest change?
They have a coach that actually answers your questions when you ask them with tangible information.
It's easy when you only have four losses.
Hey, the Cavs have the Cavs have one more loss than the Browns have wins this year.
I was waiting for that, yeah.
Good. Oh, by the way, congratulations to the Browns. Two more losses, and they match the 1999 expansion team for losses in a season.
So they got that going for them.
It's $100 million per win. That's what Jimmy Haslam's paying this year. So that great analytics there over in Berea. The Brain Trust doing an outstanding job.
And it just got really cold. I think the snow's coming down. Thank you, Daryl. We were hoping for a white Christmas. You just made that possible.
We're trying really hard not to get fired this week, and you're making it hard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
it's bad. It's just bad.
You're right.
There's nothing good to say. Miles Garrett don't want to play here anymore because he's tired of dealing with this clown show.
Do you really believe he doesn't want to play here anymore? I think he wants to hold the front office to the fire here to say, is this going to get better? And how are you going to get out of this? Don't you think that's what he's saying? I don't think he... You think he wants out?
He's had enough.
Wow.
He's had enough of this. It's very clear. He's had enough. And here's the thing. The plan that they're going to show him isn't going to be good enough. Because they can't get
question.
Out of it.
I agree with you. What kind of plan can they show him that's going to make him say, you know what? I want to be a part of this. In fact, I'll take an extension too.
Yes, I can't wait to lose even more games here. Because I haven't done that enough in my first 8 seasons. Like, he's not wasting his Hall of Fame career here.
He's seen this show, and it was called the Joe Thomas
he got
Show?
He got an up-close and front row seat to the first rebuild, and the clown show that was, and the coaches that rolled through here, and all the quarterbacks that have rolled through here. They can't get it right. They can't get it right, and he's sick of it, and he should be sick of it. You know, he should also be sick of his teammates, too, because they didn't show up this year. All these pre-snap penalties, lack of focus, all the turnovers. It's ridiculous. There's no reason this team should be where they're at right now. None whatsoever. And instead of being angry about it, instead of crying over it, we might as well just laugh about how incompetent they are this year.
All right, so
Kevin Stefanski, you know, watching him on the sidelines, like... You know, the fans have been wanting him to show emotion for a couple years. Well, you're getting it this year. Because, every play ends up being, what just happened? And by the way, that's the PG version of what's actually coming out of his mouth and going through his mind. Because he's not engrossed in the play calling now.
All right, so
he's able to just sit back and watch the disaster unfold in front of him, helpless to do anything about it.
All right, Daryl, your lack of passion take is really coming through here. But my point to you is, if you truly think he's gone, doesn't want to be here, what is his market value for the Browns to try to trade him?
Two first-round picks and more.
No problem getting that either, too, for a guy that's got 100 sacks. You agree with that?
He's going to be 29 at the end of the week here, and he's a future Hall of Famer. Prime of his career. There's no drop-off in his game at all. I think it was Pro Football Focus put out the stat. Garrett, for the second straight year, is going to lead the NFL in pressures, even though he's double and triple teamed and held on every single snap. Mm. And he's still leading the league. I mean, he is a once-in-a-generational player.
Do you let him go if he's a white? Like, I hear this over and over. He's a once-in-a-generation player, right? Why would you ever let a once-in-a-lifetime? Like, you got to figure this thing out. You got to make him happy.
Yeah, but if you're Miles Garrett, do you trust these guys to get it right after watching what they've done over 8 years? Do you trust any of those people in Berea to get this thing right? Do you believe a word that's going to come out of their mouths? I wouldn't. I absolutely would not. Promise me Sam Darnold. Promise me Kirk Cousins. What? Not interested. Here's the other thing that this is about.
So what keeps him here? Give me the player that keeps him here. Or is it the coach?
I honestly don't think that there is. I think this is the this is just my opinion of the situation. But I think he opened the door to tell the Browns it's okay to trade me this offseason. I think that that's what this is all about. He's giving them permission to trade him this offseason. Because here's the part that people got to think about. There's a major business component to this as well. He's due for a pay raise. He's deserving of a pay raise. He's got 2 years left on that five-year, $125 million contract extension, 2025, 2026. He's not doing another contract extension with the Cleveland Browns next year without knowing what they plan to do. And my gut tells me there is nothing they're going to be able to tell him that's going to be satisfactory, because it's that bad. They're 3-12 bad right now. They're about to be 3-14 bad. Like, that's not just a quick fix.
Well, if you think they're 3-14, they've got the Ravens on the back end of this. They're 3-15 bad. No.
Well, there's only 17 games.
There's only 17 games.
Well, if you're really 18, listen, if you're really bad at math the way I am, they're 3-18 bad.
You're as bad at math as the Browns are at football.
Oh, stop now.
All right, so if you move on from Myles Garrett, Darrell, and again, this is just your 2 cents.
Yeah.
Are you just kabooming the whole thing?
Listen, I want to be clear. I'm going to hate the day that this all goes down. I think it's disgraceful that this franchise is in the state that it's in, and ownership is, quote-unquote, perplexed as to why they are, and nobody's going to be held accountable for it. It's fantastic.
Are you then just imploding the whole thing and going, all right, Denzel Ward, trade Miles, let's get this out of here.
Yeah,
all right, anything for Joel Bitonio? Are you just completely kabooming the whole thing?
Well, Joel might retire.
That's good.
But if you are forced to trade Miles in the offseason, blow it all up. There's no point. If you're going to trade him,
trade Denzel too, then.
Correct.
Right?
Trade Denzel, trade Wyatt Teller, trade everybody. Go burn the house down again. And you know, look forward to the dome in 2029. But if you are able, by some miracle of God, to convince Miles to extend again with you, with your master plan, then you don't burn it down. Then you really, you know, you go into overdrive trying to put that plan into action. But Miles basically is telling you this needs a tear down and a rebuild because it's that bad, and he has no interest in going through any of that. That's what he's trying to tell you without coming out and saying it.
All right, Darrell, so are you saying there's 100% chance he's gone next season? What are you saying?
No. I think I would say there's a 60% chance he's gone.
All right.
I'm gonna give the Browns 40% because Miles made it clear he's very loyal to the Browns. He loves Cleveland. You know, he's really invested here. Like, I'm not sitting here saying he wants to leave, but he's not gonna sit here and put up with what's going on in that building anymore. He's done. He's not putting up with it anymore. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. I'm shocked that Joe Thomas did.
So is the front office nervous about this then, or what?
They should be.
Yeah.
They absolutely should be.
Do you believe
ownership should be as well.
Do you believe a coaching change would hinge on it as well?
No, I don't think Kevin Stefanski's the problem. In spite of this, I realize there's some, you know, there's some blemishes there, but Kevin's done everything he can do in his power, okay? Other than just getting them to eliminate these pre-snap things. Like, he's not turning the ball over. That's not his fault. He fired Alex Van Pelt. He's changed all his coordinators in the last couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all those guys have been changed. He has, you know, tried to bring in people that fit whatever they tried to do with Deshaun, and that hasn't worked. He has worked with 10 different starting quarterbacks as a head coach, and pretty much the offense looks competent with everybody but, well, Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Deshaun Watson operating it. So, you know, like, what else are you expecting from Kevin? To me, the problem's in the personnel department. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem the Cleveland Browns have.
So is that what they? So like we talked to Mary Kay Cabot about an hour ago, and she was just saying, it feels like, and you tell me if you think this is true too. It feels like, you know, Barry and Stefanski are safe, but they're going to have to make some changes internally. Now, does that mean Ken Dorsey? What does that mean? What do you think? Does that? Are you talking about scouting? Are you talking about? You know, I don't. They have enough coaches for at least every position.
I wouldn't bring Andrew Berry back. As much as I like and respect Andrew, I wouldn't bring him back.
Okay.
I don't think his draft picks have been good. I think he has a blind side when it comes to researching players and what makes them tick and the intangibles that come with players. Okay.
Okay.
And whether or not they can learn playbooks, whether or not they can execute a playbook, whether or not they can behave off the field, you know, whether they even like the sport of football.
Yeah, that happened along the way, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I and you're dealing with people here. And I just feel like if Andrew can't quantify it on a spreadsheet, well, he doesn't get it. And that's a problem. You know, I look at the Cavs right now, and it really struck me last night how much people matter. And Darius Garland said something fascinating after the game about how he has learned how to talk to each of his teammates and how he has realized that the way he talks to Donovan Mitchell is not the same way he talks to Max or he talks to Jarrett or he talks to anyone else in the locker room. And the reason why I was so fascinated by that, but because here's this relatively young guy, right? He's still relatively young in the league, been an all-star. But even he realized, okay, for me to be a better player, for me to be a better teammate, it's more than just me knowing my teammate's basketball tendencies. It's me knowing, okay, you know, what can I say to somebody who's maybe in a little bit of a slump that's not going to negative affect them, but, you know, give them some positive reinforcement to help them get back on track, right? And it's different for that guy. It's different for that guy. For him to realize that, I just think that that's an incredible amount of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one area the Cleveland Browns lack. They don't know how to get to the bottom of what makes their 53 players tick and what makes them gel. And it ain't going to the damn Greenbrier every year, you know? And I think that what we've learned about this Brown season, last year was the fluky year. That was not what this team was. They were able to get a little lucky. They won a lot of close games. And I'm not trying to diminish their accomplishment last year, but I think everyone just kind of said, yep, went 11-5, got to the playoffs, we good. Let's just run
it
back.
Well, the NFL thought that too. I mean, look at all the nationally televised games they would have had over the last 2 weeks down the stretch here.
Yeah.
If they would have lived up to the expectations. But, Daryl, there's a lot of people who just think if they had a different quarterback running this thing, coming back, the results
I'm aware.
Would have been,
They think this is a 100% quarterback problem.
The Browns do or fans do?
Browns. And here's the thing. Okay, well, how are you going to fix it? Kirk Cousins, who led the league in interceptions, like, Kirk Cousins somehow managed to throw more interceptions than Jameis Winston this year. And that guy's going to come in and fix everything? Or it's going to be Sam Darnold if he's available? Like, there's no solution. They've been looking for a quarterback solution for 3 decades now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when they think they get it right, fate tends to work against them a little bit, and it goes south. Or you give a little too much power to a guy, and he's not mature enough to handle it, and so you kind of get fed up with each other, and you just, okay, we got to move on from that. Like, I just, you know, they don't get it right, and that's why, like, I sit there and say, if I'm Myles Garrett, I just don't trust these people. If I'm really about winning, the Cleveland Browns aren't it. They've never been about winning. This franchise has 22 losing seasons in 26 years. There is no culture of winning here, no matter how much we want to talk ourselves into it.
All right, Daryl, stop watching The Grinch all day and have a good day. And,
it was nice being on a guest on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're always welcome.
I'm going to crash it one of these times.
You're more than welcome to. We'll send you the link. You can get in.
I'll crash it one of these times for something dumb.
Are you
I'm
good
here
with
for
that?
Like the Star Wars movie rankings or something, something along those lines.
Hey, listen, when we get into the offseason, when we get into week 18, we might just have to do that. I mean, let's see, what have we resorted to, Andy? We've talked about Ohio State.
Oh, the Ohio State conversation was good.
Skeleton Crew has been really good, gents. I don't know. if you've been watching. It's been enjoyable. It's almost like the Goonies did Star Wars. It's very cool.
I wait for the entire series to come out so I can binge it.
That's a smart move.
Happy holidays,
all
guys.
Right, we'll talk to you later.
Enjoy the holidays.
Yep, it's true. On our next episode of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where's a better place to vacation? Hoth or Tatooine? Or maybe even Naboo? We'll talk about that. Endor's not bad either. A lot of cool things hanging out there. Lima woke me up today. Or I woke up to a picture from Lima. I'll show this to you. I should have showed this to you before the show.
That hurt my throat. I should not have done that.
So I don't know why, and I don't know what he was doing, man. I think he was creeping on me a little bit. You tell me, Meredith. You be the judge of this.
Sometimes
too.
You get a creep.
Maybe we should. We'll put this creep out. So this has to be. It's got to be 2000. It's a picture of me and Jim Carsados, the former Ohio State quarterback. Check this out. Look
Ding.
Out. Look, you got to see this. Let's send this back out. Let's put this out on Instagram or something like that. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
And so
the hair
says,
is impeccable.
I know. Like, I used to have great TV
well, you
hair.
You still have great hair.
Yeah, but look at, I mean, look at the color, man. There's like zero grays. You know what that says? You know what that color of your hair says?
Please don't blame your family. You got 3 days ahead of you.
You know what that says? That says, no kids, no marriage. Right there. That's what that says right there.
That's some very, very dark hair. And you know what's really funny?
Legit.
Is that
legit. Like, I'm like,
they could take that. They could take you, like, you're right now, and then that picture of you and use it in, like, a hair dye, like the Just Divorced. For Men hair dye
yeah,
commercial.
Yeah, that's legit. Like, that's the real
before
color
and after Just For
yes.
Men.
Remember, before you get super grumpy over that, keep in mind that your kids are going to choose which home you go to.
Oh, great.
So you have to be decently nice to them, because if you're not, you're going to end up on the crooked one in the news.
All right, should I put this out on X? I don't know. I'll let you do it, because I'll end up messing this up.
You do it. Why would you send it to me? Why are we putting middlemen in this? You do it. You
because
have to log in.
I know I might mess it up. That's
how are you
going
to mess it up?
I'm just telling you.
Just hit the box with the arrow.
Like
go to X, make sure the picture is the one of you and Jeff, and then put it there.
You have no idea how many misfire texts I send in a week.
I know.
Like,
I do the same thing.
You know what should be illegal? Text change, right? Like, if you're texting someone and you're having a back-and-forth conversation, like talking to other guys I coach with, and then all of a sudden I see, uh-oh, I sent this to one guy. I thought I sent it to one guy, but I sent it to 10 guys. And then the other 10 guys, next thing you know, you look at your thing. It's like, question mark, question mark, question mark. You're like, why did I misfire like that? I'm really, really bad. Like, the last month, I've been misfiring left and right.
There is a frequent guest on this show
mm-hmm.
that has gotten more grocery list texts
yeah,
than
stupid
you could
stuff
possibly
like that.
Imagine because of a certain name. They laugh. I should say it this way. The person who gets those laughs about it quite often of the amount of times that they have gotten a text that says, hey, can you pick up eggs? Hey, can you pick up, like, all of that kind of stuff.
I need
because of a similar name.
I, you know, before I send a text, I need a little pop-up window that says, are you sure? Are you sure? You're an idiot. What are you about to do here? And then you realize, like, oh, these people don't care about what I'm writing about this week or what I'm doing. I maybe it's just part of getting old. I don't know.
Well,
it's not fun.
One of those things might be people not exactly caring, but let me tell you, when Daryl Ryder starts going off like this.
Oh, listen to this.
You got to care.
They don't get it right. And that's why, like, I sit there and say, if I'm Myles Garrett, I just don't trust these people. If I'm really about winning, the Cleveland Browns aren't it. They've never been about winning. This franchise has 22 losing seasons in 26 years. There is no culture of winning here, no matter how much we want to talk ourselves into it.
Are you buying what he's selling? I mean, he made it sound, you know, in the beginning of the interview, he made me think, oh, my God, Miles is leaving. I think he's out of here. Like, he's got some kind of inside scoop. And then he kind of put the perspective on what he was seeing and what he's thinking. And then at the end, I made him put a percentage on it, which, by the way, having had conversations with former general managers in town, when it comes to someone coming or going or someone getting traded or not trading, there are only two percentages, 0 and 100. That's it. Mm-hmm. So, but I did ask Daryl the in-between question. I'm like, dude, what do you think? Is Myles Garrett coming back next year? Give me a percentage. He's like 60%. So he gave the Browns the benefit of the doubt by 40, but his voice and what he was saying, he made it. Did it not sound like he was like 95% sure Miles is out of here next year?
Well,
because there's no way the Browns can tell him what he wants to hear. And then he doubled down on that, and you just heard it. He was like, doesn't even matter what the Browns say. There's no way they can live up to the word. So would you believe what's coming from the front office?
All right.
I think Miles is loyal. I think Miles wants to be here. But I do think he needs a vote of confidence from the front office to say, hey, we are really going to do this, and we understand that this is what it's going to take. And I think any average Browns fan can look at this season and go, if they had a different quarterback in the beginning of the season, we're not sitting here with three wins. We might have four.
So I kind of wrote this out when the Miles stuff came.
Okay.
This is the realistic plan that you would, like, if let's say Miles Garrett, I was Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, Jimmy Haslam, the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
And Miles put that, ultimatum is the wrong way to put it, but basically said, can we get a plan here, kids, and I'd like to see it. This is the realistic one, which is you sit him down and you go, look, Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of the future. He is going to probably be in the building.
You actually wrote out what you think the Browns are going to say. Okay.
Oh, yeah, man, I wrote it right there.
Oh, good job on you.
Well, you know, show prep every so often. So, anyway.
How could you prep that? You just, go on, keep going.
So, anyhow, basically saying, look, he'll be in the building because we have to. We're not going to flat out cut him because we need his contract to be able to build a team that we can work around.
Right.
By that, I mean yanking all those levers and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
He'll be inactive every week, but he will not be the starting quarterback. See if Kirk Cousins.
Do you really think the Browns are going to say that? There's no way they're going to say
that.
But
this is the problem.
Because they're going to come back and say, you know what? If Deshaun's healthy and he can play the way we think he can play, he's going to be your quarterback next year.
But you need to present him with a plan.
Yeah, I understand that plan, but that plan can't be a bunch of what ifs.
Well, Andy, if I walked up to you and said, hey, our plan for winning next year is going to involve Deshaun Watson, what do you think of that plan?
I'm going to say, like, hey, I'm out of here. See you. Peace out.
Yeah, exactly, which is why you can't lead with that.
Give him the deuces.
You knew this. We know this. This is like basically starting a meal. This is like starting Christmas dinner going, okay, we're going to begin this with some lovely steamed carrots that we have steamed for 3 hours longer than they needed to be. They are utter mush. Even children looked at this and went, no, we can't have this.
I'm going to call this carrot souffle.
So you need to realize that the steamed carrots are not going to get the job done. So you need to just get that out of the way now. Like, that's the truth of the matter. You need to have a better plan than that. Even if you're going to sit there and go, well, you know, maybe he's got a shot. Sitting down and telling that to Miles Garrett, sitting down and telling that to the fan base is going to go over, like,
I get it.
I can't say on
the air. I know. We all know.
So, like, that's step one. We'll get into step two and three coming up shortly.
Okay, let's do that. We'll come back. I thought of a good way that you could say that, but I won't say it, especially because it's the holiday season. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call it. You heard what Daryl had to say, right? I mean, you tell me. You listen to what Daryl had to say, and then you tell me, if you were Miles Garrett and you have this conversation with the Browns, are you coming back or are you asking for a trade? 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
And their latest podcast, it's always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. And if it's anything like Daryl was on with us about 45 minutes ago, I'd tune in. That was a good time. Subscribe to the podcast now, 92.3thefan.com, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Also, our ex-mention, somebody sent me a mention saying that I need to crash the pod, and I need to come in with all sorts of just bizarre stuff, you know, start ranking Avengers movies, Harry Potter, Star Wars, just anything that is not football, and just start crashing this thing. Somebody thinks that's a great idea.
I think it'd be fun. I got no problem with it.
All right. Well, maybe we'll work something out. Maybe I'll come crash the pod one day.
Yeah. Happy holidays to you, especially the folks that have time to sit around and sit in their basement and have nothing to do and just hit Twitter. Do I have to do a block this early?
Yeah, why
not? I guess I do. And I've got a good friend there in Massillon. And see you later. Bye. Not a block. I can't block. I mute. I love mute. Mute could be the best thing that ever happened to social media. Because they don't know. You just don't ever have to put up with them again.
Go kick rocks barefoot. That's the best way to put it.
Yes. Good luck to you and your family, because you have time to write stuff like this. And
go kick rocks barefoot.
Put the picture of your family up there. Anyway, 216-474-0092. That is the number to call. You heard Daryl Ryder a little bit earlier in the show. Right? You heard him. And talking about Miles Garrett. And There was just no way, after listening to him, that you think that the Browns can come up with a plan that would make Myles Garrett happy. You know, he said 60% chance he's out of here, but the argument he made made it sound like it was 95% chance.
Well,
like, why would he come back? So finish your thoughts on
that. So that was the thing, is I kind of sat down and I was like, okay, if I was in this situation and I wanted to keep Myles Garrett, what is the plan that I would put forth? Like, how would I build this realistically? Okay, that's the other part of this, because, you know, going, hey, I'd trade for Patrick Mahomes. It's like, yeah, of course, we all would trade for Patrick Mahomes. That would solve a lot of different problems. But sadly, there is one Patrick Mahomes, and I don't even think the Chiefs would pick up the phone if you even put that out. So we tried to do this in a level of realism. So the first thing I said is I'd look him dead in the eye, and I would say Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of this team next season. He's going to be in the building. He is going to be around, but we will make him inactive every week. He is not playing quarterback for this team. So the second part of this would be look at him and see if Kirk Cousins does anything for him. Just because of the relationship with Kevin Stefanski, the fact that it looks like the Falcons might move on from him, the success he's had before, and the fact that 2 years ago you could argue Kirk Cousins was one of the top 15, 10 to 15 quarterbacks in football. See if that does anything for him. The problem is if that does nothing for him, as our friend Mr. Phelps has laid out on numerous occasions, it's not like it gets prettier. I mean, maybe the best of the lot that would be out there would be Gardner Minshew. I mean, Uncle Rico doesn't do a whole lot for a whole lot of people. Derek Carr, if he's out there. Or, I mean, flat out just say, look, we're going to have somebody here, and we're going to bring in a quarterback for next year. You know, we'll draft somebody in 26, and that dude will come in and be the quarterback of the future. Again, this is the best realistic plan. The other one would be promising a premier pass rusher on the other side of him to replace Darius Smith. It would cost a boatload of cash, but if they are serious about winning, Khalil Mack is going to be out there. And it kind of feels like the Von Miller to the Bills deal, where you're going to have to pony up and you might end up having to pay for a little bit of was instead of is. But that's the plan. Is I'd look at him and go, look, we're going to get somebody on the other side of you who's going to attract a decent amount of attention. So then that way you're not quadruple teamed every single time, or triple teamed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Get somebody over there, and here's the plan at quarterback. And again, that was the best plan that I could put together in this situation. So hearing that, Andy, if you were Myles Garrett, your answer to me would be...
I think I'm out of here. What would your answer be?
I think I'm out of here.
I think he's out of here, too.
I don't, if that's based just on not what a plan. You're saying. I mean,
I just don't know. And it's not like, I just don't know how they could give him anything rock solid. I just don't see it. Their hands are tied by this contract. This contract is like an anchor.
Oh, and I would toss in a contract extension for him as well.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, look. We're going to make sure you're the highest paid defensive end in the league.
Yeah, we would compensate him, you know, on top.
And obviously, we've got to work our way through this. We've got to swim through the what's going on with the quarterback situation. And the problem is there's no hope. Like, there's no hope right now. And if you're Myles Garrett, in some ways, if you're a fan, does that create hope if he goes somewhere else? I don't know. I don't know you're still stuck in this is quicksand of a contract with a quarterback who can't help you.
Yep, that's the problem. You're giving the largest chunk of your cap to someone who isn't helping you win football games.
There's another point here, too, and I'll call it the Joe Thomas point. There are fans here, and I'm not going to lie, a little bit of it's me, too. I want Myles Garrett to have success in the league, and if he doesn't have to play against the Browns in any way, shape, or form, and the Browns have an opportunity to pick up a couple first-round picks, I'd like to see him be able to get a Super Bowl ring before he's done. You know, I hate this. Like, I don't ever want to give up a Hall of Fame talent, but by the same token, if there's no hope, at least for the near future, and unfortunately age is always against him, you know, he's going to get older and this team's going to have to rebuild, and if that's what they're going to have to do, then maybe they do need to think about it. I like, this whole conversation drives me insane.
It's awful. It's a horrific conversation to sit and have.
Bill is in Parma. Sorry.
You don't feel better. No,
hi, Bill.
You're good. Hey, Bill.
Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays. You know, I think one of the things that has never been discussed was this year is that the offense this year is historically one of the worst offenses ever in the NFL.
It's pretty horrendous.
And they've looked back 50, 60 years, and it is one of the worst. And I think here's the problem in sports, and that is guys like Barry are deathly afraid of getting a strong-willed coach underneath them, like a Belichick or a Dan Campbell, because those guys will come in and get rid of Barry. So what Barry usually will have around him are yes people that will not challenge him, and that's what's happened here, because Barry has done a horrendous job. And if anybody with power would come in here, would say, let's get rid of Dee Podesta, let's get rid of Barry, let's get rid of these poor talent evaluators, and let's start all over again.
Well, so here's the thing with where the Browns are in what you're saying here, Bill, is they kind of did this in an unorthodox manner, is they brought in Kevin Stefanski and then brought in Andrew Barry. So it was basically they almost went, this is our coach, and then who would pair best with our coach? This guy right here. So it's always been thrown about of like, okay, so who really is the one who would can the other one, or is this the package deal? Like, that's always that's the funny part of that is you're 100% right. In a lot of situations, that would be the case. But this one's just a smidge different in that regard.
And really what you've seen in not only this sport but other sports is when you have a situation like you guys are describing, there's no way out. There's no way to make this thing smell better. What's happening now is these guys get paid $2 million. I don't even know, $2 million, $3 million a year. They're going to hold on to that for as long as humanly possible because there ain't no other GM job out there waiting for them. And so they're going to try to sell Jimmy anything. One more year. Give us three more years. Give us four more years. And I like what Miles is doing because Miles is doing just the opposite. I'm not buying this. These guys don't have an idea, an outline, and they don't. And so, and then the question is, who would you replace them with? Well, this isn't rocket science. I mean, the biggest thing right now is looking at who has the best talent in the league, not by because they draft last in the league all the time, but you know, look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia has great talent across the board. Look at Baltimore. What you do is that you start, if tomorrow someone said to me, do something, I would start pounding on these organizations and look at the talent evaluators. Who are they? How do they do it? How do we get them over here? But the problem runs into right now is Barry does not want to lose this job because he has nothing waiting for him after this. And so they got to get rid of this guy because it's just going to get worse. Hey, have a great day, you guys.
Well, it's funny, Bill, before you hang up, you know where Andrew Barry came from? Philadelphia. So it's not like this is, you know, they attempted to go that direction. The thing that Myles Garrett did in this, and I think the reason it became such a lightning rod, is because he echoed exactly what the entire fan base has been saying for 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, what's the plan here? Where does this go? What happens from here? Like, that's what all of us have been saying, is give me a plan. Because right now, you're just running in mud. So, what direction is this going? And I think that's why this whole thing has brought all of us to have this topic and this conversation of, like, where in God's green earth is this thing going? Because right now, it's just sputtering. It's stuck in mud. You know, you're stuck in the snow right now, and you need somebody to come by and give you a push, and the push isn't coming.
All right, let's come back. We'll talk to Antonio Pittman. I want to switch gears and talk Ohio State football when we come back. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan with Dan Menigan.